That's the spirit.
Perils of putting on a short song. Sorry, Peter, we caught you on the fly. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I've just come back from doing a talk about Destiny Church, and I thought that would be an interesting theme because although the Pope's been in the news, there's been a bit of Destiny news also floating around the sphere, hasn't there?
Really? Well, yes. I mean, hopefully everybody's watched the John Campbell show by now, and but if not, we can do a quick refresher as well.
Yeah, so the Campbell theme began with a couple of interviews that suggest that Man Up, there's a good deal of the men in Man Up may not be exactly lily white in terms of the way they treat their wives. And so this was a partner who'd been seriously abused in Man Up, which is Destiny's sort of gang recovery program. And so that was an interesting aspect of it. The second aspect was that, I mean, I wasn't at all convinced by his argument that they're doing a charity sort of some sort of mean trick on exploiting the charity's law, because in fact I don't think Destiny does give much by way of charity receipts to its members anyway. But then did have a really interesting take, which I had not known about before, that the property, that the big property for Destiny Church out in Druce's Road in Wirree, isn't actually owned by them.
Yeah, after all of that.
Yes, and certainly when I was writing my book on the subject and they were about to move and were moving by the end stages of when I was there, actually, I mean, they'd been raising money hugely to build the City of God out there. And, of course, had been a bit less than expected, but there was no hint that the property was owned by somebody else.
Yeah. Renting the City of God, maybe.
Yes, yes. The City of God doesn't seem to be something that you should rent.
No.
Yes. And, I mean, I wonder whether a mortgage fell over and they couldn't repay, and therefore they had to allow the property to go into other hands. But I don't know. I have no information on that.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, they won't be rushing to tell anyone. Either will they? What happened? Yeah. So, and I wonder if there's been any kind of confirmation that that lease is indeed up. Has there?
Yes. Yes, they have had to tell their members because, of course, that was the big news for members who had no idea of this. Tamaki made a reassuring remark that, you know, they were working on other plans.
Right. Well, I wonder if this is the interesting part of that, is I wonder if the members knew themselves that it wasn't owned.
No, they didn't know.
Wow.
No, that was clear that they didn't know. They had been imagined that all their tithes and offerings were going to supporting the City of God. But you see, there's always been, and it's never been quite clear how much, a high amount is siphoned off to support Tamaki's himself.
Yeah.
And so I would think that a significant amount of the money has maintain the Tamaki's in the lifestyle to which they are accustomed.
Yeah.
As for the violence in Man Up, I pondered around this in various ways, and I suppose it's not altogether surprising in a movement that comes, that's trying to recruit among gang members in prison, that some of the people have ended up as being pretty, still having their violent edge to them.
Yeah. But you can imagine, you know, I think the idea, stated idea, right, is to take people out of that environment, and no one's pretending they weren't in that environment, but to kind of reform. But this idea that it seems to be, and I don't know if this is just oversimplifying, but it seems to be that Brian Tamaki has got this idea, like, actually what it's going to be really good for is recruiting to muscle, you know. It does really look like it.
Yes. You know, the early posters, from gang men to family men, that was the image that was being portrayed of Man Up. But if you look at the people that we've all seen in the sort of intimidatory moves on the Rambo community, these are people who are enjoying showing, pushing their weight around.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose, potentially, maybe he keeps their loyalty by encouraging them in a little bit of community thuggery.
And sort of describing it as a kind of good violence, bad violence.
Maybe yes,
something
that's
like
right.
That, yeah.
If you're violent against bad causes, and of course they overstep their mark very badly at Te Atatū Library, and I think that what may have happened there is that, certainly I understand that at least 14 men of the Man Up group had tickets to go, and so they were intending to go into the library and to disrupt the event from the inside.
Right.
But they were very quickly picked out and stopped. And the police do keep quite an eye on what Tamaki's up to. And so they probably weren't completely surprised when they turned up at the event, because after all, there'd been a series of other trans readings in libraries that have been disrupted over the years, over the last year. But, of course, it turned into kind of brute thuggery, including against little kids, which was just disgusting.
Yeah.
And I also think that they were feeling so full of themselves that they decided to go down and disrupt the Rainbow Parade afterwards. But that may or may not have been in the original plans.
Yeah. It was, it feels like it was a bit like maybe they could have got away with one, not the other, but it did feel like the two-fister, if you will, of those two things did seem to kind of drag it into the mainstream interest just enough for people to say, well, hold on, why are they allowed to do this? Sorry. It did seem to be a little bit that way. The other, I did really like the John Campbell piece. I got the feeling, though, because the episodes were so short and there was a bit of repetition and stuff like that, you know, he did a great job with what he had, but it did feel a little bit like they'd been thwarted slightly by the very culture of fear that they were talking about. You know, they'd had some really great interviews that got them, you know, ready to make this piece, but then getting the permission pulled at the last minute seemed like they only being able to go off one interview felt like really I felt for them, you know, because it's sort of felt like he had more to say that he wasn't able to.
Yes, it didn't feel as though the one interview could really pull off the dramatic stuff that he was saying. And I mean, it could be that we have sort of lawyers saying you can imagine that being reported and saying you can't get away with that, and some of the victims being cautious about what they were saying. I mean, certainly you couldn't have deduced from what was being said that Tamaki could be held responsible for the violence in Man Up, but you can kind of see how it might happen, that it might be tricky keeping people accountable in their private lives for what you're trying to do in the public space.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The thing that is troubling about Man Up is that it moves Destiny's sort of public grand demonstrations, you know, who they are and what they're capable of doing, into brute force, almost by definition. That's the way Man Up has come to operate.
Yeah.
Is a display of something verging on violence.
Yeah.
And that appeals greatly to the sorts of people they're attracting.
Yeah, it's I'm pleased to hear that, from what I hear anyway, the police have announced they'll stop referring. I mean, it was so ironic, wasn't it, that they were referring people to Man Up as a kind of way of getting help. But I think that may have ceased from what I'm hearing.
Yep, I think you're right. And certainly they've been blocked from prisons as well, because this isn't exactly the best therapy to put people into a transport.
No, and it, you know, being uncynical as possible, it did seem like, you know, even if this stuff hadn't arisen and that was genuinely, the program was genuinely doing what it was designed to do or stated to do, like, you know, I could put aside briefly Brian Tamaki's money grubbing and go, okay, you know, well, that's a good outcome, you know, but they really pretty boldly showed that the fruits of their spirit, if you will, Peter, were pretty grotesque, you know. Was the obviously the stated purpose of Man Up is not the same as what it's really for.
Not much love, joy and peace and all there. Yes, and I wonder whether that is what Destiny is becoming now, is becoming a kind of, as it declines, a noisier, angrier group. I listened to their Sunday sermon earlier in the day while I was doing other things on my computer, and nothing seems to have changed. It's all endless calls for complete dedication and giving your money to Bishop and et cetera, et cetera. So the ordinary movement maybe hasn't much altered, but Man Up is a kind of law unto itself, and that's kind of disturbing.
Yeah. The decline of its numbers was interesting from the story, though, I thought, you know, because that's, again, against the what he'd like people to think, you know. I think they would like to think that it's a growing movement, a growing church, but it is, it's clearly...
Well, I can tell you that from the census, you know, when I wrote my book back in 2012, they had 5,500 members, which still wasn't particularly big. Quite a lot smaller than what they probably had once been. But the census in 2018, a lot of people put Destiny down. Well, to be precise, 1,800 put Destiny down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the census in 2023, 1,370 people called themselves Destiny followers. So that's a substantial drop of a quarter between 2018-2023.
Yes, it is, yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, it remains to be seen, and, like, you know, he does such a good job of being that squeaky, squeaky wheel and being the headline, but there's so many other, obviously, you know, there's a lot of other troublemakers in that world too. But he's just such a brazen one, isn't he?
Yeah, he's made himself a brand, a unique brand, and the reporters just flock to him no matter what happened. It's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, I went to a christening on the weekend. Peter, there's some more new religious news. And Matthew Crawley went to church for the first time in a long time. So that was interesting. And you know what? There was cake afterwards. So I've got to say it was pretty good, if you ask me.
That's the community function that we so desperately need.
That's right. And you know what? It was it was so nice to see. You know, I haven't properly been to church since the late 90s and certainly more in the 80s, it was nice to see the tradition of the cup of tea and the instant coffee still alive and well afterwards.
This could be the death knell of church, instant coffee, I think.
I've got to say, in their defence, I went up for the instant coffee and they said, oh, we've got plunger coming, it's just being refreshed. So I should be, I'll give all the facts, there was plunger.
There is hope. There is hope in church.
That's right. Thank you, Peter. Talk to you again. Ka kite.
Bye.
Pilinum,